Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me the title of today's sermon? Salvation, free but not cheap. Based on our epistle reading that Ben read for us earlier, 1 Peter 1, these verses. Knowing that you were ransomed from your futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I encourage you to follow the sermon outline provided for you in your handout as we consider our theme, Salvation Free, but Not Cheap. Well, you get what you pay for. How often have you heard that statement? Probably more than a few times. You get what you pay for usually means when you pay a cheap price, you get a cheap product. When what you pay doesn't amount to much, then the product you get also usually doesn't amount to much. And these days, even more care has to be taken when you hear an advertisement about a product that is, and I quote, absolutely free. Right. What's the catch? Anything worthwhile, anything of real value, must be expensive. Not cheap, and certainly not free. In today's epistle reading and sermon text from 1 Peter, we are told very clearly that our salvation was not cheap. The cost of our redemption from slavery to sin and death was not some mere silver or gold, but the precious blood of Jesus, our Savior. Now, theoretically, and use that word carefully, theoretically, God could have used the treasures of the world to redeem us. Psalm 50, verse 10 says this about God. It says, our Father owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. That's a Hebrew way of saying God owns it all. But the price for our redemption was too steep. The debt of our sin was too great. The price needed to buy us back from slavery to sin and death was greater than all the riches of the world. So what could possibly be of more value than the riches of this world? Listen again to 1 Peter's words. Knowing that you were ransomed, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Now, some claim that God could have demanded obedience to His law and to His commandments for us to earn salvation. In fact, that is the claim of some today and was the claim of many at Peter's time. God demands obedience to His law and commandments, and that's how you might get salvation. But in the text, Peter says that this kind of thinking is, and I quote, your futile ways inherited from your forefathers. You see, many people in Peter's days and today's asked, when asked this question, how do you hope to make it to heaven when you die? Will say things like this, by doing good deeds, by living a good life, by keeping the commandments. And Peter says, make no mistake about it, these are futile and empty ways. These ways, Peter said, will not work. The debt of our sin is too great. The depth of our sin and rebellion runs too deep. Our so-called good deeds are simply not good enough to cover our sins. In fact, the Old Testament prophet Isaiah has some very graphic words about this. Isaiah calls our good deeds that we would use to buy God off for our salvation, Isaiah calls them filthy rags. Listen to the text. Isaiah 64:6. All our righteous deeds are like filthy rags. What's he saying to us today? All our good deeds done to earn salvation are in God's eyes like filthy, dirty, stinking rags. That is, man's works righteousness won't work. Our salvation can't be bought by what we do. But here is truly wonderful news. And if you have momentarily drifted from this word of God being proclaimed to you, now's the time to refocus. Here's wonderful news. Your salvation was free. But it's not cheap. It's costly beyond all measures. Listen to the text again. You were ransomed from your futile ways, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Your eternal salvation was a free gift of God, but it cost Jesus his very life. What do we read in the third chapter of John, the 16th verse? For God so loved the world, he gave his Son. He gave him, yes. He gave him over unto death for you and for me. St. Paul writes in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. The wages. Wages are what we deserve for the work that we do. The scripture says the wages of our sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Your salvation cost God the crucifixion death of his Son. Salvation doesn't come at a discount. May I ask you a personal question this morning? How precious is your salvation to you? Over the last few years on Saturday mornings, it's been my privilege to teach a class of men from various countries who have come to Canada who want to become pastors. In one particular class, an African tribesman, about 6'4", from Sudan. And maybe you've seen some of these tribesmen with the marks cut into their foreheads. Tall, slender, big tribesmen. Shared that when he was a boy in the Sudan, he and his parents, now get this please, chose to walk 5 hours every Sunday to get to Christian worship. 5 hours they walked. They packed a picnic bag to take with them to eat, but to make sure the children had enough food before they got to worship, mom and dad ate grass along the way. And after they walked 5 hours to get to worship, one particular Sunday, he said his papa brought one of the family's 2 precious lambs to sacrifice, to put to death, to feed the worshipers after the order of service was completed. They walked 5 hours to get there. They gave up 1 of 2 lambs to feed the congregation. When the man from Sudan told that story in that same class, I remember it clearly, this 5-foot-tall Chinese man went over to the 6-foot-4 African tribesman, weeping in tears, and hugged his brother in Christ. How precious was their salvation to them? How precious is your salvation to you? How is your life of worship and Bible study? Is it a weekly priority? How's your life of stewardship? Are you using the finances God has given you and the abilities he's given you for his glory? How's your life of prayer, especially for your church, for the work of God in this world, for the needs of others? How's your life of outreach? giving away freely the love of Jesus to others in inviting them to come to this place to hear the Word of God and His love for them. My friends, there's much for which each of us need to repent. Perhaps it's time for each of us to take a 5-hour walk to worship on Sunday morning. When we consider the great cost of salvation, we have to ask ourselves, are we just busy about in our life using God as a 911 number? That is to say, do I call upon God in times of crisis, but keep Him at arm's length in the rest of my life? Peter reminds us in today's text, our salvation was not cheap. We were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. Now, the early Christians to whom St. Peter wrote these words, maybe you don't understand when Peter wrote these words. When Peter wrote these words, the people he wrote to were under the horrendous persecution of the Roman Caesar, whose name was Nero, around 60 AD. These people were tempted to compromise or to deny their faith just to stay alive. They were tempted to cheapen their salvation and live like the godless pagans all around them. They were tempted not to take a stand for Jesus and not to bear witness to Him. And let me tell you, folks, today, we are tempted to do the same things. Have you heard of the name of the Lutheran pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer? Let me ask you, raise your hand. Have you heard his name? Now, in Bible class this week, Linda New brought him up in our Bible class. A great insight. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a Lutheran pastor in World War II, Germany, who suffered under the Nazi regime and Adolf Hitler. Hitler wanted absolute control of the churches and what the pastors preached in those churches. During our sabbatical, I just finished a 600-page biography on this godly man. Bonhoeffer remained true to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and for that, he was thrown into prison, he was beaten, he was tortured, he was put to death. But while in prison, he wrote a powerful little book entitled The Cost of Discipleship. In this book, which you can still find and read, he exhorted Christians not to compromise to the godless values of this world, but to stand up for God's truth and to treasure the priceless salvation that is ours through the blood of Jesus. Today's reading from 1 Peter says much the same thing as Bonhoeffer's book. Peter exhorts the people of his day under Roman persecution and the people of our day to live as strangers. Did you hear me? To live as strangers to this world's standards and values and priorities. Peter says this in verse 17. If you call upon God as your Father, then conduct yourselves with fear, that is respect for God, throughout the time of your exile. People of God are the people who are exiles. People of God are those who do not fit in with this world's values and standards. St. Paul said much the same thing in Romans 12, verse 2, where we read these powerful words. Paul says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed." Here Paul uses a word picture of an iron smelting plant, a plant in which iron ore was brought in and heated up to a great temperature to separate the iron from the ore in which it came. Once the iron is separated by this process, it's melted, and then it's poured into hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of molds to make hundreds and hundreds of the same kind of metal cups. They all look alike. And what St. Paul is saying here is this. Don't be a metal cup. like all the cups around you. As God's people, says Paul, don't be conformed, be transformed. Be different. The Bible calls that being holy. You are God's holy people. And the word holy means separate, distinct, not like the rest of the crowd. Our life is never to be a cheap replica, like all the hundreds of tin cups poured into the molds of this world. We're to be different because the blood of Christ shed for us has made us God's holy people. We spoke earlier about Pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer in World War II Germany. Now, it's dangerous giving your pastor a sabbatical because he has more books to read. This next story comes from another book. But now I'm taking you from Germany to France about the same time in the 40s during World War II. The story was a story about a young Jewish woman who was fleeing the Gestapo, Hitler's special police, while she was in France. If she were caught, she would be killed. For what reason? She was Jewish. She came to a Christian home and was a safe house that hid and protected Jews. The home belonged to a French widow, a young woman about her age. The Jewish girl was tired of running. She gave up hope and just said, "Let them catch me. I can't run anymore." This French widow told her this: "When they come to this house, yes, they will find someone. But it won't be you. It's time for you to leave. Leave with me your identification papers and flee." The Jewish girl understood immediately the plan. The Nazis would come and find this Christian widow with these papers and think she was the runaway Jew. And speaking at a Christian youth conference, some 40 years after this event, this now Christian woman of Jewish descent spoke to hundreds of teenagers. In recounting her story, she told the teens, "I asked this woman, this French widow, this Christian woman, why are you taking my identification papers? Why are you giving your life for me?" And this is what she said. I quote, "It's the least that I can do. Christ Jesus has already done that and much more for me." The French widow was indeed caught, imprisoned, and put to death in a concentration camp. The Jewish girl was free. But this Jewish girl, as we said, became a follower of Jesus Christ and spent the rest of her life telling others about the great cost of her salvation. The great cost of her salvation from a death in a concentration camp, but also from eternal death and hell apart from God. And as an aged grandmother, some 20 years later, still traveling the world and telling the story of her salvation, she was asked by a young person, "Grandmother, please tell me why. Why in your 80s don't you rest? Why are you spending your life, giving your life, doing this?" And with a smile on her face, and a faraway look as if remembering a past event, she replied, "It's the least that I can do. Christ Jesus has already done that and more for me." My friends, our salvation is free. But it's not cheap. It does not come at a discount. The cost of our salvation was Jesus' very life. Our only response, Our only response is to live as God's holy people and serve Him with every aspect of our lives. To quote the words of an aged grandmother, "It is the least that we can do. Christ Jesus has already done that and much more for us." In the name of Jesus, amen.